You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Paul Esposito here. I've got 60 seconds for an introduction to this program. Oh, what a great sermon this has been. If you'd like a copy of this, write to me, Paul at WMIEFM.com. This is the last part of the sermon preached by the Reverend Jim Johnson at our church a couple weeks ago, undiscouragement and how to overcome discouragement. We're going to hear that now, and then we will be back. I believe we'll be back in Romans tomorrow, or else I might air on the radio tomorrow the sermon I just preached yesterday. It's entitled, What's Your Prognosis? And we might have that airing here on WGOD. But anyway, here's today's message. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Here is the Reverend Jim Johnson and today's message.
Jesus offended his own nation, the Jews. In Romans chapter 9, look at verse 33. It says, as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Jesus is that rock of offense. And who did he offend? It was laid where? In Zion, the nation of Israel. And they rejected him. Praise God, they're going to come back. When this church age comes to a close, the Bible's very, very clear that God is not done with Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. God's doing a work. As you read from Psalm 95 today, I actually spent some time this week just meditating, starting in Psalm 95 and just reading all those psalms. If you want to go back and look at them, they all start begging for God to do what he's going to do in Israel. To come back and fix Israel and redeem Israel and come back, and he's going to come back to judge the earth. It says in Psalm 96, verse 13 and so on. There's a lot of prophecies in the psalms about his coming, soon coming return. And when I see what's going on in Israel right now and all the battles that are happening on the Holy Mount, part of me says, let's go. But I have to listen to my own message. This is his timing and his way. But folks, he offended his own people. Do you know if, I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Matthew chapter 15, verse 12, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, don't you realize what you said offended the Pharisees? You know what his reaction was? Who cares? They're blind leaders of the blind. Let them go. He offended his hometown. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, look at verses 53 through 58. Matthew 13, verse 53, and when Jesus had finished these parables, he went on from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished. And he said, and they said, where did this man get wisdom in these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor except in his hometown and his own household. And he didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Go to John chapter 6 real quick. Let me show you one more place. John chapter 6. Jesus even offended disciples. Well, I call them false disciples. The Bible's very clear that just because someone says they're a Christian doesn't mean they're a Christian. Bible says that there's seed that falls on the rocky soil and thorny soil and springs up and fools us, but it didn't fool God. And in John chapter 6, starting in verse 60, when many of Jesus' disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It's the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who didn't believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Folks, I just want you to get this. Jesus offends a lot of people. You know why? Because he's God, and this is his world, and he's going to run it the way he wants to run it, and he's going to keep it on the schedule he wants to have it on, and he's not going to give in to anybody else's opinion. Even in the tribulation period, you're going to see that the souls under the altar are having a problem with God's timetable. How long until you avenge our blood? And they're just told, wait a little longer. They're given white robes, told, wait a little longer until the rest of their brothers are going to be killed. Folks, you want to have peace and joy in this life? Surrender to the fact that Jesus is Lord, and blessed are those who are not offended by how he runs his world. It's time, and I believe God sent me here for a reason. Y'all are going through a season here at Island Community. Let me encourage you. Give up on what you thought it should look like. Stop trying to get somewhere. Stop trying to accomplish goals. And humble yourself and say, Lord, you brought us here, and you have a reason and a season and a purpose. And the one thing you've shown us is that we're to love you and love each other. And whatever it looks like from there, we leave it to you. Because, folks, I could show you through the scriptures, God is not as concerned with local church numbers as we've been taught. If you go back and look at the scriptures, you'll see he was forever scattering people. The early church grew to 3,000 at the preaching of Peter. We like the sound of that. A few chapters later, it grows to 4,000, 5,000. And what happens in chapter 8? Because of the stoning of Stephen, a great persecution broke out against the church, and they were all scattered. All except the apostles. God didn't seem to be as concerned with how many were in a local congregation. Oh, but don't miss his words. He says, I'll build my church. And the gate of hell won't stop it. But one of the problems we have in our churches today, it's one of the main things in my ministry as I travel around the country, is we get fighting with each other in our churches over our interpretation, our definition of what we think the church should be doing, what the church should look like, and we're too busy trying to go do things for him, and we're getting offended by Jesus left and right because he doesn't do it the way we want him to do it. Blessed are he. Blessed are they, blessed are the he and she's who are not offended by how Jesus runs his world. But we got this problem. It's in our flesh. We want to call the shots. We know that everything you've heard me say this morning is true. But deep down, we have a problem. We still want it to go our way, and we're going to have to learn daily to lay that on the altar. You can sit here this morning and say, you know what? He's right. Amen. God, I hear you. I'm not going to fight that battle anymore. This church is yours. Good luck. You know why God's mercies are new every morning? Because your flesh gets up every morning. And your flesh is going to want to call the shots again tomorrow and the day after and the day after. That's why we need to renew our minds. That's why in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, we're to daily lay our bodies on the altar, which is our reasonable service, our spiritual act of worship. We're not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the daily renewing of our minds. Oh, listen, then you'll be able to know what his will is. Did you catch that? Oh, let me back you up to the verses right before chapter 12, though, that most people don't really put together. Because there's a big number 12 there, we have separated the end of chapter 11 from chapter 12. But when Paul wrote it, there was no separation between the end of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. Those numbers were added later, and I'm glad they were. It helps us to do our study. But listen to Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the wisdom and the riches and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Don't miss that. You're never going to figure God out. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Who's ever been his counselor? We've all applied for the position. For from him and to him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact that this is world's all about him, and if he chooses to have my cancer not go away, and this be how my life ends, he's still God. But he's allowed me to be a part of something greater where he has given me salvation. Back in 1973, when in a little town in Milton, New Hampshire, he drew me by his spirit, opened my eyes to my need of a savior, called me off out of that aisle there, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ and been walking with him since 1973 and been growing in my knowledge of him and his word. And he has done a wonderful thing in view of his mercy, because he didn't have to save me, but he did. In view of his mercy, I am to daily take my flesh and offer it as the living sacrifice. And the Bible says, when I renew my mind, and I'm not focused on the pattern of this world, which is me first and getting what I want, then I will be able to test and approve and to know the perfect will of God. Did you catch it? We missed it. You're never going to figure God out. You're never going to know what he's going to do, but he'll show you the next step. The word is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet, right? Folks, stop trying to get somewhere. John the Baptist was upset because what he had heard wasn't lining up with what he thought was going to happen, and it caused John the Baptist of all people to say, maybe he's not the one. Oh, John, you just forgot. There's a whole lot of other prophecies too, and you got them out of order. Years ago, I have three children. I have an oldest daughter. She's 23. She's graduating on Saturday from University of Central Florida with a master's degree in speech language pathology, and we're super proud. But she was 5 years old when I was pastor of a church in Chicago, and she was on the bottom bunk of the bunk bed between her and her younger sister, and it was bedtime, and she was crying in her bedroom as she laid in her bed. And I came down the hall and I said, honey, why are you crying? What's the matter? She said, Daddy, I have the hiccups. Would you please pray that God would take away my hiccups? Now, I have all these mixed emotions now because I'm a preacher and I'm loving the fact that my daughter wants me to pray and ask for her hiccups to be taken away. Yet at the same time, I know God doesn't always take it away when we ask. And I'm afraid that if I pray and God doesn't answer the prayer, my daughter, who's only five, will weaken in her faith in God. And so I have all these emotions, but at the same time, I'm going to still want to pray. So me, with my medical background, my undergraduate degree was in physical education, and so I know a lot about the body. I studied pre-med with the doctors and the nurses. I know a little bit about the diaphragm, and I knew that maybe as I put my hand on her to pray, I'll put my hand on her diaphragm, and I subconsciously thought, I'm going to put a little pressure on her diaphragm as I pray, and then while I'm asking God to take away her hiccups, I'm going to try to intentionally squash the hiccups myself. So I'm praying for my daughter and gently but firmly pressing down more and more and more and more as I'm praying for her and praying that God would take away her hiccups. And when the prayer was over, my five-year-old daughter looked up at me and she said, Daddy, you're not God. She knew full well what I was doing the whole time. She goes, pressing on my stomach isn't going to take away my hiccups. God's going to take away my hiccups. And Daddy, you're not God. I thank God for that. That was 18 years ago, and it is stuck in my brain. And I have to be reminded daily, I'm not God. Blessed is he who is not offended by how Jesus runs his world. Blessed is he who is not offended by how Jesus builds his church. Can I pray for you?
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out.